I don't listen to these kinds of podcasts. In fact, if it were someone else, I wouldn't have, but I'm glad I did. I found that sometimes I am insensitive to how other people handle body shaming because I handle it well. So when I saw your podcast, I said, let me listen. The more I listened, the more I came around to it. Issues like these and many more are the reasons why we began this podcast, to shed light on issues we rather sweep under the carpet, to shed light on issues that we think we know all about and give us fresh perspective on how to handle everyday issues. Welcome to the Just Be podcast.
My name is Mercy Hepzibah Ndikwon, and we discussed body shaming and read the experiences of people who were body shamed as kids and as teenagers. We also discussed the causes of body shaming, and we had a very interesting discourse with responses. In this episode, we'll be looking at practical effects of body shaming using real life scenarios. We believe that you're probably making a decision right now based on a word that was said to you from your subconscious. There are decisions you've made based on not healing completely from body shaming, and you have to listen to the end to find out some ways you probably are making decisions based on your experience from childhood. And just before we get into today's episode, Alice, we'll be reading a very interesting comment that came in
the week
of our past episode. So this listener said, "So in my opinion, I don't agree with the heavyweight put on projection as the reason why people give negative comments on people's bodies. I agree that if you don't have something nice to say about someone's body, you should keep short, especially if it's not something that can be changed. However, I don't think people do it because of a sense of superiority. In fact, I feel very few people do that because they want to hurt you or because they feel superior." So Alice, this is a response to the point you raised last week. Last week we discussed the reason why an adult would look at a child and tell the child, "You're too black." Why would somebody even body shame another person? And we had different points. And one of the points we raised was that people do it to feel superior to other persons. And I think responder, and I'd like to thank this person for their feedback. And if you're listening, please, we do appreciate feedback in the comment section, wherever you got the link to listen to this. Please respond with your feedback. We would like to hear your thoughts and to discuss your thoughts like we are doing this. And I'm thinking that this listener actually is coming from a very good standpoint. Of people don't come out to hurt other people. And I think the thought here is that nobody feels superior and then says to the other person, "You're too fat," just to feel superior. But in my example, one of the examples I gave last week, I mentioned how women who are fatter than me started having issues with me when one week into the marriage, I've not added even a pound of flesh, and she was already projecting. I think what this person is saying is that woman did not tell, did not try to tell me, oh, you're too fat, you're too fat, based on the fact that she felt superior, or that she was projecting, but out of a place of concern. But I do believe that it was a projection. It was a projection.
Yeah.
What we are discussing is watch it. You can have the best intentions. Watch it. Watch the manner of approach. Watch how and what you're saying to other to the other person, how you're making the other person feel and stuff. What do you have to say to this, Alice? So before you respond to the comment, I'd like to read it again. So take it in parts. So my opinion is that I don't agree with the heavy weight put on projection as the reason why people give negative comments on people's bodies. Now, I agree that if you don't have something nice to say about someone's body, you should keep short, especially if it's something that can be changed.
Yeah.
However, I don't think people do it because of a sense of superiority. In fact, I feel very few people do that because they want to hurt you or because they feel superior. So what do you have to say to that?
Of course, from the beginning, we knew that not everyone is going to agree with the thought. But I feel like the majority of the comments we got were actually people that agreed with what's the thought. And when it comes to projection, when it comes to all other psychological issues, you find that it is not a one-size-fits-all. It is not the same thing for everyone. So that is why we will go with research. We will go with data. We will go with scientific people that have done research. So the things we came up with last week were not just armchair things, were not just things we sat down to concoct. These are things that have been done by research and has shown that these are causes of body shaming with figures and all of that. So, and that's, I mean, an aggregate. This person is speaking for himself or herself, and that's one person. So we're talking of aggregate of samples, aggregate of researches, aggregate of things that people have done in this regard to say this is a cause of body shaming. And I think I believe science, I believe research, I believe statistics. So yeah, for the person speaking for himself, this may not be the reason why, if he or she does it, this may not be the reason why they do it, but it doesn't negate the fact that these are causes of body shaming. Also, when you talk about these things, we are more influenced by our subconscious mind than we are with our conscious mind. So there are many things we have done, many things we are doing that are not from a place of consciousness, but from a place of unconscious, our subconscious mind. So that's why you see that there are things, if you're not someone that introspects, there are things you'll be doing and sometimes you wonder, why am I doing this? If you're someone that introspects, because you don't want to do it, but it has been built into your subconscious because of experiences, because of words, because of, you know, things you have been exposed to, that it just predisposes you to do certain things. That's the power of the subconscious mind. So just to feel like we established last week, just to sometimes feel better about yourself, you put these things out there, not even knowing exactly what you're doing because you're being powered by your subconscious. I'll give you an example, a practical scenario. When I was in high school, I had this friend. I liked her a lot, so we're quite close and all. She was really, really short for her age. And I was really tall for my age as well. So, you know, we're just in that place.
Opposite.
And she was a terrible verbal bully. She always had something negative to say about everybody, just to bring it. When I left high school, entered the university, began to grow, read, and that's when I felt a lot of pity for her because I saw where all that was coming from. Then I was really dark-skinned and she used to call me a black witch, you know. And it was hilarious to her. It made her happy. She'll say it and she'll laugh. She'll get people to laugh and all of that. And I knew she was short, and I could have said that to her as well, short person or something. But I knew that it was not proper, it was not right, and I didn't have to give it back to her the way she gave it to me. And she always, so when I began to read, grow, learn, I studied social work, so I was exposed to a lot of psychological issues and all. I found out that she was actually removing our focus from her height to my skin, so that before we even think of speaking about her height, she has already broken me because of my skin, and I have nothing left to say. And believe you me, she's not a bad person. I know her. We've been in touch, you know, for a few years after high school. She's a good person, but she was doing this to keep herself, because, like, I think we established it last week that the first law of human nature is survival. So anything, I would do anything to survive, even if it means to trample on you to survive, to feel good. So this is more like emotional survival. I would do anything for me to survive emotionally, and even if it means putting you down so that I see you from a place where I'm better off than you, it will help me. So these are practical issues that, you know, we've experienced, backed by research as well, that really put this thought of projection, and like we called it, illusory superiority. Not necessarily that you're superior, you feel so, you know, and it's still part of a psychological problem, you know. So that's how this comes forward, you know. So yeah, that's my response to that.
You know, in my first year in school, I was standing beside a colleague, and somebody really full came to pass, and this colleague is on the big side, and what she said was, how can a human being be this tiny? How can she be this slim? Doesn't she eat? How can a human being not have fish? And as you were speaking now, that's when I remember that scene, and now thinking, it's a way of validating her size,
obviously.
So her seeing speaking loudly, because everybody turned and she pointed at who she was talking to, though the girl did not, like, she didn't know that she was being talked about because she passed. But everybody turned and were looking at her, and then she was really making it an issue, like, how can a person be this thin? How can a person be this slim? How can, you know? So like you said, the attention was now taken off of
exactly
her. There was no attention on her in the first place, but I think that was to survive. So it's yes, now like, I'm validating my size, so let me with the other person that is
exactly
too slim. There's something we used to say. If you're too tall, you're taller than, if you're taller than me, you're too tall.
You're too tall. That's a survival quote. That's survival.
Yes. Like, yeah. I'm perfect. So if you're taller than me, you're too tall. If you're taller than me, you're too short. No. People have their different heights. It's not like they are two.
Yeah.
Okay, so we had really nice like the one you started with when we started this podcast, where he was saying how he could survive, you know, if somebody calls him fat, it does not affect him. So
yeah,
understood why women or other people will be affected by
like this. Yeah,
and then just listening to the podcast, I'm really glad that you did listen.
Yeah, and just to buttress his point and his comment, you see, that's why I like science, I like research, I like data, because sometimes we want to judge the world by our own experiences, which is okay, but then we want to also see things from the lenses of the majority. And that's what science helps us to do, to get data. Now we compare, we correlate, we do all the whole things we do in social science and in the sciences, in the humanities and all of that, just so that we can come to conclusions that are backed by data. You know, when it comes to how things affect you, it depends on where you're coming from at the time. For him, he may be coming from a place where there is no much abuse, you know, and all of that. So when these things come to meet him, it's meeting him well. is meeting him sane. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Is meeting him all right. It's just like I think we gave that instance one day when we were talking, that if my immune system is strong and I get a cold, I can fight it easily. I can just fight it and the next day I'm okay. But if my immune system is weak and I get a cold, it will amaze you how that cold will metamorphose into things and things and things and admission in the hot, just because it came to meet me in a state. And that is also adaptable to our emotions. Where you are, where things meet you emotionally, affect your response to those things. So he probably, this body shaming thing comes to meet him in a place where he's emotionally stable and emotionally all right, so it doesn't make much of an impact. But if you're someone that is already down, you know, and then this thing comes to meet you and it just pushes you down in bad English, but it just pushes you more and more down. So that's why we should actually be empathetic and sensitive in matters like this, because like we were saying last week, some people just be like, women, your own is too much, or is there everything you take to heart, is there, you know, things like that. But you have to be sensitive and empathetic towards people, because you don't know where they are coming from, where they are going to. You have no idea. So the least you can do, like our second responder spoke about, if you don't have anything nice to say, just keep quiet, because you really don't know the demons people are fighting with at the time you encounter them. If you have nothing nice to say, just keep it moving, just move on and let them be.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to key into that line of thought you brought up on the immune system. So things meet you, how that disease meets you matters, the place you are when that
absolutely
disease, and that's what we're discussing today, the effects of this body shaming years later in a person's decisions, like you were body shamed as a child, and psychologically, mentally, emotionally, you were battered by these words. Is it possible that right now, as an adult, as a 40-year-old, as a 30-year-old, your life being affected by that battering, that body shaming you suffered as a child?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's an organization in the US. I can't quite remember the name, but the
I do have a personal story to share to this effect, but I'd like to hear
There's an organization in the US. I can't quite get the name of the organization, but what stood out to me was their tagline. And the tagline is, because childhood lasts a lifetime. You know, oftentimes we think childhood is 0 to 18. No, childhood lasts a lifetime. There are many, you know, I work with children, you know, and all that. So when I sit down on my own and just think and reflect, I ask myself, why are some adults the way they are? Let me give you a typical example of how where we are coming from, our home, our environment affects us throughout life. If we are not now deliberate to say, okay, I have a problem, I need to work on it. We started a summer camp in Enugu State in 2018. And in 2019, we had this summer camp, and we asked children for feedback, like, how has this camp impacted you? And you could see children, oh, this is the best camp I've ever attended, thank you so much. In fact, parents were telling us that they have never seen their children more happy to go anywhere than they were happy to come for our summer camp, because it was fun, they learned a lot of skills and all of that. One comment, only one. The child said, this is a total nonsense. Like, when I read that comment, that feedback from the child, right? Only one. The rest will be, and that's the thing about humans, we would put premium on negative things and forget the positive ones. When I read every other child, and we had more than 100 children in 2019 in the camp, so every other child, 99 comments were
positive, beautiful. Some, in fact, will bring tears to your eyes. But this one was sincerely, my darling sister. When I read that comment, it was as if I swallowed poison. I don't know how to explain it. It was as though that child had poison in his pen. But I know it was not the pen. It was his soul. There was poison. It was toxic. I could feel bitterness. As in, I could feel something in my stomach after reading it. Then I showed that comment to one of the counselors in the camp. Like, look at this thing. So, fine. We put in a lot of effort. We put in a lot of time, a lot of money to get this. So, the least we will get is for children to really be happy and appreciate. And we got that from 99. This one, I was deeply concerned because how can a child be this poisonous? What? It is not normal. It is not possible for a human being to be this poisonous. Now,
yeah.
What is the issue? When the counselor of the camp saw the name of the child, said, I know this child because one of the counselors is a counselor in a secondary school in Enugu, and the child is a student. He said, I know this child. One of the major complaints of this child and his older sister in counseling session is how toxic their father is and how poisonous their father is. How the father says things that will bite you and wound you, and he will not even bat an eyelid. Like, the father is so toxic and so poisonous that they don't greet each other in the morning. Like, the house is Armageddon, is war. Do you get? So when I saw that, I said, so this boy is on the path of becoming exactly like his father and becoming toxic, poisonous to people. So imagine that this thing has trickled down to this child. So childhood lasts a lifetime. What we do does not just end with the children. It grows. Now, I give you another example. We're still with my children in the camp. Still with my children in Enugu. I had this. There are three siblings, lovely children. Now, one of them spoke to me about how the father abuses the mother physically, hits the mom. And she was crying, like, oh, she doesn't want her father to kill her mother and all that. So I just began to ask some questions, given my role as a social worker. And I found out that her grandfather used to hit her grandmother. And now the father is hitting the mother. And she has only one brother. And that brother of hers is the youngest of three of them. And that boy fights her. So that boy is on the path to become a woman. So you just see how these things trickle down. Now, it doesn't affect 100% of people, but it affects at least 40%, according to research, that these things will trickle down. So one of the effects of this verbal abuse is it recreates a cycle of abuse. So not just this one, we've talked about physical, but when it comes to verbal abuse, it recreates a cycle of verbal abuse. It recreates a cycle of body shaming. So someone that has been body shamed is more likely to body shame another person. So if we would break that cycle, say, okay, I've been body shamed, but I don't want to do it to someone else, then we are sure that we can actually cut that chain and help people to just live their best. A typical example, I think I shared it with you, about how this thing, you know, from one person it goes to another, and all of that, is one of my aunties, I'll call her. Me and this auntie of mine lived with a particular lady that was quite abusive. And this lady, if she comes back home, she, especially if someone comes to visit her and she sees that there's someone in her house, she really wants to put it to that person that you are a slave. You know, there's an air, like, what is this? Why is this here? What are you, you know, just that air of, you know, you are nothing, right?
Yeah.
And me and this auntie, we were enduring that level of abuse. So the lady of the house traveled. So it was me and this auntie, right? So the auntie was now the oga, because the main oga has traveled. So a friend of mine came to visit, and the moment this auntie of mine entered into the house and saw my friend. She began to do the exact same thing that that woman used to do to us. What is this? Why is this here? It took her 20 minutes to see herself in the mirror of the woman she dislikes. Wow. To see that she was doing the exact same thing that hurt her to me. And she had to come and apologize to me, like, I'm so sorry. I don't know what came over me. And that's what we are talking about, the subconscious mind. She didn't know what she was doing, but she has internalized this so much that it has formed something in her that the slightest opportunity she had to feel bigger than someone, she became the very same thing that she cries about every night. So abuse, body shaming, of course, is a form of verbal abuse. It recreates a cycle of abuse. It recreates an atmosphere for these things to thrive. So that's one of the effects of body shaming.
Okay. So the story I wanted to share where being body shamed affected me in my academics. I did really well in school. I was one of the top in my class. And I was really good with sciences, chemistry, physics, biology. So there was a science competition that was being hosted in Pope Wardo Secondary School, but we were informed that it was an all-girls competition. We were just using Pope Wardo as the venue. When we got there, I was picked to represent my school by my teacher. When we got there, my teacher stepped out. He had to handle some issues, then he'll be back to get us. It was time for the competition, but it was not all girls as we were informed. There were also boys there. In fact, about 5 boys' schools were there, plus our mixed school and other mixed schools were there. And when I was called out, I wasn't called by name. The moderator called the person representing, the student representing WAPI, come out for your competition. I could not step out. From the moment I noticed that boys were also in the hall, apart from the people that came with us, all boys' schools were present. I remember that I am ugly. And that I remember that I'm ugly, that these people will make fun of me when I step out. And I made up my mind that I wasn't going out. So the moderator called and called and called. Finally, a boy from my school then stood up and went, but I did not, like, I could not step out because of that fear of my face is a masquerade, you know. So when I got back to school, I couldn't tell my teacher
what happened.
I was actually penalized for it. I was flogged in front of others for disgracing the school. I could take that flogging, but I could not take standing in front of boys from other schools, an all boys school with an ugly face. Can you imagine?
Jeez. These are actually things to bring to the fore. I think we established it last week that very few people will actually do this from a malicious place, right? So that's why we're bringing it to the fore, to say this is the effect of this thing. So that if you know the consequences of what you're doing, I believe that if you're not a malicious person, then you should actually retrace your steps. And instead of use your words to hurt, you use your words to build, you know. And just speaking about effects of it runs deep. It runs deep, really. It runs deep. And if you're not someone that introspects, I really love to speak about introspection, because that is where you begin to find that there is a problem and there is a need for a solution. But if you're not one to introspect, then we will just continue to live our lives in cycles, and we'll just be passing out what we have received, keep passing it, and we are not even aware. That's what we're trying to establish with the response. You're not even aware, but this is what is powering what you're actually doing.
There's something you mentioned one time, that being abused, having verbally abused, literally being body shamed, and we imbibe it and believe it, can affect the choices that we make. The choice to even stay under abuse. There are some children that cannot be abused. That's actually your line. There are some children that cannot be abused. They are the ones that are predisposed.
Abuse. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
They've received this abuse first.
Yes.
From the ones they look up to.
Yes. Parents. Yeah. They are used to it. It's not new. You know, they've seen it in different shades and in different colors. So it's no longer new. Abuse is something they are already used to. That's why you can see two people in the same circumstance. One who just like, I can't take this and walk away. The other one will just be able, will be willing to take it, because there's a damage that has been done. With words, there's something that has been done to that person's configuration that can now make things that should be unacceptable. You know, people no longer know how to set boundaries and draw healthy boundaries, because they have been so trampled, so spoken of in ill ways, in condescending ways, in belittling ways, that they don't even understand the place of human dignity. I don't know if you've seen a scenario, so like, leave that place now, leave that relationship, what kind of, you know, like, you're so upset, like, what are you still doing there? And the person is tied, is bound. And, you know, it took a lot of research for me to understand these things. Why people cannot leave certain places, even when they know that this thing is not working for me. This thing is not...
A particular girl will break up with an abuser, date another abuser.
Exactly.
You know, like, is it that you are a magnet for abusers?
You know, and these are issues. I mean, we can still narrow in on as we go along in the podcast. There's really so much to say. There's really so much to say. About the heart, about the mind, about how these things just make us who we are. And some people say, I know myself. You don't know yourself. You have been configured to become something that you are not because of experiences. And that's why I said, if we don't sit down and introspect and say, why am I? Some say, I don't know if you've heard some people say, me, as I'm here, I be ho ha. You know, in Nigeria, in Nigerian parlance, ho ha means I say things as they are. I am, you know, that's how I am. That's not how you are. You became. So if you can introspect and say, where did I become like this, then we can actually find healing. But let me not go ahead of myself. Next week we're going to be talking about wholeness and healing.
That's true. Next week we'll be talking about can we find wholeness? Are there people that were body shamed as children that are currently thriving, that those words are not affecting, that are doing well, and how can you find wholeness? Because in the comment section of my story where I shared my own body shaming journey, I had a number of persons say, I am still healing. Other people were like, I'm still trying to heal. And those are people being honest with themselves that it's still affecting me, the things that were said to me. So if you're that kind of person that you're still affected by the things that were said to you when you were younger, or you're still affected by body shaming, next week we'll be talking about how to find wholeness as a victim of body shaming, and if wholeness is possible, how. So we'll be discussing that next week. Thank you for listening up to this point, and I would like to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast, invite as many people as you can. Somebody from this week shared our podcast to a number of persons that he knew this would bless, and we are so grateful to you. Please be like that, our listener, and share. Help us spread the good news of the Just Be podcast, and follow us on social media. Our handle is @thisjustbepodcast. This Just Be podcast. We wanted the Just Be podcast or Just Be podcast, but those handles were already taken. So this THIS is before Just Be podcast. And do subscribe. I've mentioned that already. We look forward to your feedback, and All right. Have a beautiful day. Bye from me.
Yes. Bye from me as well. See you next week. Bye.